Our text from Amos was one of Dr. Martin Luther King's favorite Bible passages during the Civil Rights Movement. In fact, he often used that in speeches to ask for justice for his citizens in America. The cry for justice is just as loud then as it is today. In fact, it's as strong a desire as all of human history. It goes back to Amos and even before Amos. It goes back to Jesus too. But calling people out for their sins, pointing them out to them, doesn't seem to work all that very well, because if it had, then they would have listened to Amos and they would not have been taken into exile, but they did not listen to him. Or maybe I should say it this way: if you're going to try and change people, shaming people doesn't work very well. It didn't work when Amos tried it, and it doesn't work to this day. All that shaming will do is silence the person that you want to shame, but it won't change them. It won't change their point of view. In fact, it'll probably entrench them in their point of view even more so. It won't make them more merciful, and it certainly won't make them more loving. It probably will make them angry and defensive. And that's where our story of the Good Samaritan comes in. It's a story about how important mercy is to life as a whole, and how it, rather than shame, transcends even the concept of justice. Why mercy is more important even than justice. When you hear the story of the Good Samaritan, it's a story about one human being who should have hated another who offered him mercy and human compassion. People get hung up all the times on things like race and gender and nationality and religion. We judge each other on our differences all of the time, but the thing that unites all of us, literally the only thing that can bring us all together, is how we care for and love one another. It's not how we judge each other. It's not how we keep people at distances from ourselves. It's rather how we love and open up to one another. That's the thing that unifies people. So when the young lawyer asks Jesus about the greatest commandment, what does Jesus do? He asks the young man to tell Jesus what the great commandments are. And the lawyer rightfully cites two Old Testament texts. He cites Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and Leviticus 19, verse 18, love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the crux of this whole text. But wanting to justify himself, hey, I did pretty good on that answer. Let's see what I can do on the next one. Because being right for a lot of us is far more important than anything else, he asks Jesus who his neighbor is, as if to catch Jesus off guard, as if Jesus is going to say, well, it's just the people within your tribe. If you even have to ask the question who your neighbor is, then you're not playing on the same field as Jesus, all right? Every story about Jesus, every healing action by Jesus are demonstrations of his love, and his love that transcends all lines between Samaritans and Jews, between Gentiles and Jews. And in the end, all that matters is the incarnation of love to everyone we meet. In the end, that's really what judgment will be about. Yesterday, I received a very, very distressing phone call from a man who I do not know. He called me in tears, just sobbing, crying that his daughter had just died. And I was so taken aback by the call that I had to apologize and say, I'm so sorry, could you tell me who this is? I don't know. And that was, I felt bad, because you know, when somebody opens up like that, you assume they know you, and therefore you should know them. But I didn't know this guy. So I had to apologize and ask his name. And that's a horrible feeling when something like this is happening. But he gave it to me. He told me his name was Oscar, and that he had attended our church maybe once or twice over the last few years. Not often, let's put it that way. Not enough that I could remember him. I asked him if he needed me to come over to see him and his wife, who had been heavily sedated since that morning when their daughter Amanda, who was 14, died. She had died of leukemia, and it had been just over 1 week from the time that she was diagnosed to the time that she died. Can you even wrap your head around that? 1 week from diagnosis to death, how does a family get ready for that? So the family had no time to even comprehend the magnitude of the tragedy that they were undergoing. They were just in a state of zombie land, just kind of going through motions. And then he would break down in tears again and again. And he asked me to pray with him over the phone, and we did. We prayed a lot, but it wasn't enough just to talk over the phone, because he needed help. He needed a physical presence. He had borrowed his friend's SUV and was going to go down to Philadelphia, to the airport in Philadelphia, all the way from up here, and he needed gas money. Could I help him out? And I said, absolutely. Could he come on over to my house? I said, because I didn't know where he was at the time. And I said, I'm just starting to drive again. I had hip replacement surgery, and I feel pretty confident on a highway, but yet not totally confident about the stops and starts. So is it okay if you come over? I'll be glad to fill your tank up full of gas and we can talk some more. So he came over and we sat down in our house on our couch. Well, before that, before he could even get out of the cab of the truck, he opened the cab of the truck up, left it wide open, rushed out and grabbed me, just bear hugged me, right? And I said, come on inside. Let's just come on inside. So we come inside, we held each other, literally held each other. This guy held on to me for dear life, like nobody's held on to me. We prayed and cried, and I obviously gave him, or I should say my family, they were the ones that carry the cash. I carry plastic. But my mother-in-law and my wife and my brother-in-law all ponied up money so that we could fill up his SUV so that he could go off. And I said, do you need somebody to go with you? You know, it's a long drive to go down to the Philly airport. It's 2 hours by yourself. And he said, no, I think I'll be all right. I just need time to just process. I need time to just think, be alone in my thoughts. And I understood. But what this reminded me of is in an instant, I was reminded that all that matters again is human beings. It's really not about what we believe in. It's really not about what we espouse. It's about what we do in a moment like that. All that mattered was giving Oscar some love and some hope, if that was even possible. Money was just one vehicle amongst many more. I'm going to stay in touch with him. I have his number. I have the names of his family members. And I'm going to keep reaching out, because as the months go by, this is going to be harder and harder on him. And each time it reminded that we are confronted by a stranger in need, we are asked how to decide to act, just like the Good Samaritan, right? He just happened upon this guy who had been beaten on the side of the road. He didn't know anything about the guy. And it's easy, if you think about it, to cross over. We've all done it. I've done it. To the other side of the street when you see somebody begging for change or saying, can you spare a nickel? Can you spare a dime? Right? Yeah. We do it all the time because we don't know them. When we see pictures, though, when we see pictures of children in detention centers along the border, I hear many people say, well, what is it that I can do, Stephen, about this situation? It's beyond my control. And I'm just reminded that that statement is so like what the Levitical priest said in our text when he crossed over, or the lawyer when he crossed over, because he didn't want to get involved because he wasn't sure if it was his neighbor. As a Jew, they weren't required to take care of outsiders. So they decided not to get involved with the beaten man. Bad move. He was a stranger from a different tribe, just like all those little kids along the border in detention centers are from different tribes. But what happened to me yesterday was once again a powerful reminder that the neighbor is anybody that we meet, literally every single day. We are being put to the test, folks. It doesn't matter that he had tattoos all over his arms and body. It didn't matter that he was of Hispanic descent. It doesn't matter that I didn't know him. All that matters in that moment, all that ever mattered in that moment, is the love that we extend to each other every single day we are on this earth. And it's so easy to fall out of love. Because love requires effort, it requires work, it requires getting out of our own safety zones, it gets into our heads in terms of what we believe about other people, and forces us to deal one-on-one in a way that breaks down all barriers. So I think it's always of God, these little tests. And when you think about it, when I think about it at least, it reminds me all that matters in the end is us. That's it. That's what's real, us. You matter, I matter. Oscar mattered. Linda, his wife, who was heavily sedated, mattered. Amanda, his 14-year-old daughter, mattered. OJ, his 9-year-old son, mattered. And I can tell you that my experience from this place, from this congregation, with all of the calls and the texts and the phone messages and the letters and the delicious food that you sent my way, made me aware of just this story. Just as Oscar reminded me how much I need to be an active member of that community of human beings that loves the way the Samaritan loved, who took that stranger in and took care of him so long ago. And so it goes today. So it goes today. These stories just repeat, New people, new situations, same story. When we stop judging one another, when we stop letting people divide us up, when we stay open to the movement of God's Spirit, literally the movements of the Holy Spirit that remind us each day, oh, this is the thing maybe you need to do. God will use us to do amazing things, like extending faith and hope and love to someone that we don't even know, and they in turn touch our lives in a way that reminds us of how fragile life really is, and that can do a nice thing for us. It can make us more gentle with each other, more willing to carry each other's burdens and listen to each other. And I believe that when we act this way, then we come to know God, not just believe in God, but we come to know God and can call God Papa, Abba, Daddy, the way Jesus did. And when we get to that place, we are set free in a way that transcends justice, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love never ends. It's the greatest. This is my question, I guess, to God, right, and to all of us. If justice was the most important thing, then what is just about a 14-year-old girl dying within a week's time? Where is there justice in that, right? There is no justice for them. That's not just. That's heartbreaking. Think about that. Life is about faith because it's fragile. It's about hope because we need that more than anything else. And it's about love because without it, what the heck are we even doing here? And it's about mercy. It's about doing something that surprises somebody else in a way that they didn't expect. It's about treating this amazing gift of life that we've been given with such reverence and awe that we can think of nothing but to pass it on. I can tell you this much, that when you get a phone call like the one I got yesterday, it quickly puts things into perspective for you. It makes you thankful, so thankful for the blessings that you really have currently in your life. It makes you stop thinking about all that you don't have and wish you had. Instead, it focuses your energy on everything that is precious right in front of you. And the greatest revelation, you see, then, of the Gospels, of the entire New Testament, isn't so much in that it teaches us to believe in God. It teaches us to act like God. These stories are meant to teach our bodies to get involved, as much as they're teaching our minds to be changed. These stories tell us how we come to know God through each other, especially those we don't yet know. For in some mysterious way, which I absolutely love because it's beyond my conceptions, my reasoning, my logic, this is how we end up saving our very lives. Amen.